Hey gang, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, you stream your movies and you stream your music, you might as well stream your podcast. Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 50,000 shows right to your smartphone or pad. Get the very best in news, comedy, entertainment, science, and sports delivered right to your smartphone or pad. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. I use it and I love it. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
When we talked.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is that you were doing. I have a great show for you guys today. Jimmy Gibbs, Rocky Ann Bullwinkle, and Justin Smith from the band The Reputations are here today. They have an album that came out back in March. It's called Begging for More. It happens to be their debut album, but they've already recorded their follow-up. They recorded it with producer Jody Stevens, who you might recognize that name. He was a drummer of the band Big Star. Turns out he's the manager of a studio called Ardent, legendary studio there in Memphis, Tennessee. Justin went and asked him to produce their next record, and they did. Hopefully it's going to come out later this year. But the album that they have out now, Begging for More, they recorded it themselves, produced it themselves, and they did a really great job. You can find it on Bandcamp. Go look up the Reputations on Bandcamp. Fantastic band. We have a great conversation. They all come from different bands. They were doing stuff together. They banded together, and they found a sound, and they went with it. And apparently this new album that they've done with Jody Stevens that hopefully does come out later this year, from what I understand, that one is a bit different, a bit of a departure from this record, but still the same, you know, musicians, band, and the whole thing, okay? Great record, Begging for More. Get out there and get it. You can find it on Bandcamp. And if you're in Austin this Saturday, July 29th, they will be playing at the Empire Control Room at Babes Fest. And then they'll be playing also on August 2nd at Hotel Vegas. I'll probably be able to make that because I'm playing on July 29th myself. Anyway, great conversation with Jimmy and Rocky and Justin. And the Reputations are a great band. I suggest you get out there and find them. We will get to this conversation in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I spent the weekend playing some shows with Skyrocket. We played at Sam's in San Antonio on Friday night. Great show. Good time. Played in Houston on Saturday night for Fitzgerald's 40th anniversary. I talked about that last time. It was a very special thing getting to get up there and play. Considering the first time I played on that stage that I played this past Saturday was July 18th, 1988. The reason I know that is because I have a ticket from that show. Anyway, so it was really fun getting to play that show. But before I left to Houston, I got in my car and I was getting ready to go and the AC wouldn't turn on. Like the fan wouldn't turn on. It's like 104 degrees. I'm not going to drive to Houston in this heat. You know what I mean? And it's always awful when that happens because you're like, man, why didn't just AC just work? Like, I got to go to Houston. Why does this have to happen? You know what I mean? Does that happen to you? This happened to me like a few months ago. If you guys listen to the show, you know, I went through a phase where I got like 3 flats in the course of 1 week. 3 flat tires. All coincidental. Well, one was bad. 2 were coincidental. 1 was a bad tire. 2 were coincidental. Anyway, back to this, no AC, super hot day. It's supposed to be raining half the way, so like rolling up your windows and not having AC in the heat, gross. Anyway, so I call my friend Paul English from Skyrocket. We drove to Houston together, played the show, 40th anniversary of Fitzgerald's. Very good show, very good crowd. It was really like kind of an electric crowd. The energy by the second set kind of became palpable. Like it was exciting. Like it was, we were stepping it up. They were stepping it up. We were stepping it up. They were stepping it up. And then boom, the show was over. Me and Paul packed up our stuff and headed back to Austin that night. Had a little bit of energy from the show. You know what I mean? Like there's, you know, you walk off stage, you have this kind of like, oh, let's go. Let's, you know, let's drive back to Austin. So we drove back, had a great conversation driving back. Exciting times, talked about how we were excited to see the movie Dunkirk, talked a lot about our personal lives and what's going on, and also I told them all about Kong Skull Island, which I saw last week. I don't know if it's worth renting. I don't know. This week, Skyrocket will be playing Friday, July 28th at Mercer Street Dance Hall in Dripping Springs, Texas. So come on out and check it out. It's a good show. We start pretty early there, like around 8:30 or 9 or something, because things close down early in the Hill Country. So if you live out in the Hill Country, if you're out that way this weekend, come on out. We'll be in Dripping Springs Friday, July 28th, and Saturday, July 29th. I will be playing along with Tom Meaney at La La Park, which is in San Marcos. I will put a link to that show on our Facebook page. And come on out and do that. I'll be playing with Tom Meaney about 7 o'clock. They're having like a big camp out. They're having like all this food out there, vendors. They're showing meatballs at 9 outside. It's a whole event package. So I will put a link to that on our Facebook page. Let me also remind you to like our Facebook page. You'll see what's coming up. You'll see photos of me with our guests. Also, you'll see a photo of me with Justin, Rocky, and Jimmy from The Reputations, whose new album, Begging for More, is available on Bandcamp and has been for a while. They have an even newer album, which they recorded with producer Jody Stevens from the band Big Star. Let me tell you this other thing that happens. During the conversation that I have with Justin and Jimmy and Rocky, Jody Stevens calls on the phone. And so I encourage Justin to answer it. So you get to hear Jody Stevens on speakerphone kind of talking some business with Justin. So in essence, we can say that Jody Stevens from Big Star has been on How Did I Get Here? And you will hear it in this conversation. Great conversation with these lovely people who have a fantastic band, I have to tell you. Get out there, pick up Begging for More. It's available on Bandcamp. See them this Saturday, July 29th, if you live in Austin at Empire Control Room, or August 2nd at Hotel Vegas. Enjoy my conversation with Jimmy, Rocky, and Justin from The Reputations. Let's get down. Thank you. It doesn't work right now. Do you know anyone that works on Baldwin Home Organs?
I do not.
There's got to be somebody.
Well, like switched on. They have a bunch of organs.
This is the problem with switched on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the problem with them. Is this broke in a move?
Mm-hmm.
And they want me to take it there.
Right.
So I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Send your guy here.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's turned off.
You know? How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Good.
So did you guys go to Memphis and record?
We did.
Okay, yes. So you went and recorded with Jody Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
From Big Star. Those of you that don't know, the legendary Big Star, look up their documentary. What's it called?
Nothing Can Hurt
Nothing
Me.
Can Hurt Me.
Nothing
right.
Can Hurt Me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the last dude.
He is. He's the last one.
Yeah. And he used to always be at the Ardent booth at South by Southwest. That's how I met him. How did you guys meet him? And this is the first record he's ever produced, right?
Yes. This is.
What did you guys do to him?
Well, we hypnotized him. I'm from Memphis.
Okay.
So we had already booked time at Ardent Studios through a buddy of mine from high school that is an engineer there now. And we were hanging out one night, and we were looking on their website for their gear to see what gear we wanted to book at the studio. And I saw that Jody is like the general manager now.
Yeah.
For Ardent. And I thought, man, that's crazy that he's there. How nuts would it be to ask him to produce the record? Because we had been talking about wanting a producer for our second record.
And did no one produced your first record?
No, we self-produced.
That's
it.
Really good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. And so I was visiting for Thanksgiving. An old family friend had worked at Ardent in the 80s during like the REM days. And I asked him if he could set up a meeting for me and Jody. And he did. And so I go to Ardent one day, and Jody's late to the meeting. He totally forgot we were meeting. He was having like a rehearsal or something. And he kind of comes in. And of course, it doesn't go the way that I think it's going to go in my head. He thinks that I'm just some fan there that's wanting to meet him, which half of that is what that was.
I'm sure that a lot of people take those meetings.
Exactly.
Because now when you said it, I was like, oh, I'm going to take a meeting with that guy. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
And So he kind of gives me a tour of Arden, and Arden is set up in this big square, and it's got, you know, tons of framed LPs on the wall, and it's got, like, framed gold records and old pictures of the Replacements and the Cramps and John Fry and John Hampton and all this kind of stuff. And he's kind of taking me around and telling me all these great stories. And we get around to the front door, and he's kind of shooing me out the door a little bit. He's like, all right, well, we'll see you, you know, when you come down to record. Maybe I'll be able to pop in and say hi. And I had already texted everybody and said, like, I'm going to ask him. I'm here at Arden. Like, this is the day. And so I kind of just, I'm super nervous. I think I'm kind of, like, shaking a little bit. And I just kind of spring it on him. And I say, hey, you know, we'd really love it if you'd produce our second record. And he kind of leans against the wall, and he's taken aback. And he says, huh, well, I'd have to hear it first. And I, meaning our first record.
Right, right.
And I said, okay, yeah, well, I have this burned copy of our first record, because we didn't even have it, like, pressed on CD or anything, so I'm just kind of handing him, like, a mixtape, essentially. And his secretary's laughing at me in the corner. Like, I see her put her head down while she's typing and kind of snicker at me, and that goes as well as it could, I guess. I give him my number, and I leave, and I say, well, I'm never going to talk to Jody Stevens again. He's never going to get back to me. And 4 hours later, I'm having lunch with a friend of mine, and I get a phone call from a number I don't recognize, and it's Jody. And he says, hey, Justin, I just listened to your first record. I love it. I think it's great. And I'm interested, but I don't really know for sure yet, because I've never really done something like this before. He self-produced Those Pretty Wrongs, the band he's in now. And I think in the 90s, he co-produced a band, like a track for a band or a track or two in like 1994, but he had never totally produced by himself in the producer's chair a record, like a full-length record by a band. And so he was kind of hesitant about it. And over the course of 2 or 3 months, we kind of negotiated, and we talked to him about it, and we told him a little bit about us and all this kind of stuff. And around January, he sent an email, and he was like, I'm in. I'm totally in. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And from there, I mean, you know, it was just the waiting game. We couldn't wait to get in the studio.
And then Adam Hill also got involved at that point. And mm-hmm. He also co-produced the record, and he's awesome to work with, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when is it going to come out? That was a long pause, wasn't it? Sorry. Super dramatic.
Do you want us to match the long pause? Yeah, if yeah, you yeah. do a long yeah. pause, we do it, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2, 3, 4.
Okay. We have no idea when it's going to come out. We're shopping it right now to labels. So, I mean, I guess that'll all depend on how long that process takes. And then if we do get picked up, kind of when they think the prime time to release the record would be.
How is it in comparison to the last record, like stylistically? Obviously, it's probably much better produced is what you're going to say, right? I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what, I mean, if I made a record with Jody Stevens, I'd be like, this is the best record you ever heard.
It's definitely more rock and roll than the last one.
Yeah.
There's some glam influence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a little bit more bite to it, I think, than the first record. Mm-hmm. It's a little less sugary pop.
I like the pop of the first record. I also like that there's a thing to it that is akin to sort of a Alabama Shakes or Leon Bridges, where you are paying tribute to a style of music, but mm-hmm. you're not. It doesn't sound like 1967.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We try hard, I think, to not be derivative. And when somebody brings a song into the practice space and we're going to learn it, I think the first thing we say is, or the first thing we think, anyway, is, you know, how to make it sound not exactly like a song inspired from that time.
Yeah, to add something mm-hmm. new to the
right.
old yeah. style. Yeah,
that's what we all of us kind of listen to, a lot of music from the 60s and 70s. And we're really influenced by bands of that era.
You really do talk quietly. Can you speak up just a little bit louder for the show? Just for the people that are listening.
I sing really loudly, but talk pretty quietly. It's kind of weird.
Well, it's probably to save that voice. You know, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys all get together? I read a little bit about it, about Seth mm-hmm. was the guy that started it. So everybody writes songs?
Yeah.
Or there's
yes.
a few songs.
Everybody does.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. everybody contributes.
Everybody brings in, if somebody brings in an idea, everybody hammers it out together.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's exactly mm-hmm. how we work.
Okay. That can be an arduous process. to say the least, can it?
It can be.
Or how do you guys do it? Like, are you guys good enough where you're, no one's like, ego is in the thing, it's the song's bigger than you? Because that's the only way that works.
Pretty good at checking our egos. I think at first maybe it was a little bit tougher because when somebody'd bring an idea, they had a very set idea of what they wanted and didn't want to change it. But I think we've all learned how to work with each other really well and be open to kind of molding the ideas more.
Okay. So sorry, you were going to tell me how you guys got together.
Oh, well, we were mostly all minus Jenny and Rudy. So Rocky, Jimmy, myself, and Seth, we were in a kind of a revitalized version of a band called Bobby Jealousy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that band.
That band had broken up and Seth wanted to restart it. He was in the band previously and asked us all to do it with him, and we did. And it wasn't, I mean, it was fine. It was fun to do, but it for us, it kind of felt like we were just doing a Bobby Jealousy cover band, essentially, because we were just playing a lot of old material, and we wrote some new material, but in, you know, the paper and stuff, we were just constantly getting compared to old Bobby Jealousy. So we had been asked to do a Phil Spector cover set by Jason McNeely from Hotel Vegas, uh-huh. and we brought Jenny in to do that with us, to do, you know, the old, like, Ronettes and stuff, those songs with Rocky. And we loved working together so much that we said, you know what, let's forget Bobby Jealousy and let's start a new band. And that was close to 2 years ago that we kind of made that decision. And we got started around South By 2 years ago, I think, was our one of our first shows.
Oh, wow. And then by this year, you had a record out for it. And, and you got a lot of accolades for it, right?
We got some.
I mean, it's a really good record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What happens when you put out a record now? I ask everybody this, but like for you guys, like, I mean, you got a publicist.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get Joe Ray to do this record back in March? Or
No.
We just started working with Joe Ray not even 2 months ago.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, kind of to ramp up our press leading up to the second record.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when your publicist sends you an email that's like, oh, yeah, you're going to go to this weird guy's apartment, but don't worry, it'll be cool.
This happens.
Yeah, this is exactly what happens.
Do you guys go like, oh, really? Like, oh, is this a real thing? We're just going to go talk to him because he's very lonely and he needs
friends. You're not even recording right now.
I just all of a sudden got this one of those like shots in your heart where you're like, oh, shit, am I? Okay, yeah. So you went ahead and made a full blown album, 13 tracks, right?
Mm-hmm, for that first.
Because that was the thing that I was thinking. I was like, a lot of people will release like EPs or something now.
Mm-hmm.
What was the impetus to do a whole record?
We just had the songs. I think. I mean, we that record, you know, we all contributed and wrote, and we had already had a lot of the songs written on that record, you know, like kind of individually at home, and so we just brought them all to each other and learned them together, and went down to a ranch, actually Jimmy's folks ranch in Huntsville, mm-hmm. Texas, Jimmy and Seth's folks,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of banged it out in like 6 days, recorded it down there. I think wrote two or three of them down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. That's really cool to do. How long were you there?
We were there for about 10 days.
Oh, 10 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
awesome, too, because you get to go down there, you live together, you
it was exist amazing.
As a band, yeah.
It was like summer camp, kind
of. Yeah.
That's what making a record kind of feels like when you go to another place and you're just kind of like there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's, there's activities every day. It's just not like underwater basket weaving. It's like actual record making.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool if that was there, though.
What did you guys record on? Do you just Pro Tools? What did you bring out to the ranch? How did you make it a studio? Record,
Seth brought a mobile computer recording rig. It was really pretty stripped down.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded that on a Pro Tools. Yeah.
How much did you record live? Because this style of music, like one thing about it is the communication, at least between the instrumentalists mm-hmm. when you're recording. Like the live, there's the idea of capturing magic,
mm-hmm.
right. as opposed to like getting someone's perfect take.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did you guys do a lot of that together?
Yeah, we always mm-hmm. do all the instruments
good.
Together.
Yes. Good.
Yeah.
For that record and the new record, all the basic tracking instrumentation is all done live together.
Did you have like a good assortment of mics and stuff? Because that's the thing is like I know people that are like, oh yeah, man, I'll go record at this place because they have this board. And all that's totally mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. I totally believe in that. But, like, at this point, like, really? Like,
I mean, we had some good gear. Mm-hmm. Seth and I actually work at Sweetheart Studios.
Oh.
We opened that mm-hmm. place almost 2 years ago also.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so we have some decent gear.
Should get Jody Stevens to manage your studio.
You should. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Fly him out here on the weekends.
He's done that for a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, because I want to say, like, in the late 90s, I met him at the Ardent booth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know this, because I don't think it's in the documentary, and if it is, I'm forgetting, but I think I read it on Wikipedia or something. When Big Star broke up the second time, actually, in, like, 1975 or 6, like, when he and Alex were doing Big Star's Third,
right.
When that was all over, I guess Jody, and Jody, if you ever listen to this and I'm wrong, just let me know, he became a studio drummer, if I remember reading correctly. He did that for a couple of years and then just stayed at Ardent and eventually kind of went into a managerial position. So he's just been there for...
He's Never. A good figurehead to have for that definitely. Studio, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're the coolest band that ever recorded there, but in my estimation, they're the coolest band that ever recorded there.
I would
there.
Agree with that, too.
Yeah, and having one of the guys from there, that'd be like having one of the Beatles managing, like, the Abbey Road studios. Yeah. That'd be killer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine those meetings. You know what's funny? If Jody ever listened to this, I can't remember if it was in the 90s or the 2000s, but the very first time I saw him there, I remember it was, like, on the Thursday of South by Southwest, and I was just walking through the convention center and through the hall where all the booths are set up. And my friend, you guys know Paul Miner? He books ABGB and runs sound there and stuff.
I know that name.
And he's like a Big Star freak. And so anyway, he comes running up to me and he's like, dude, fucking Jody Stevens is like right over there. He's just standing there at the booth. Like, you can talk to him. I'm like, you're kidding me. So I go over there and I know he must have told half of Boston. I know everyone I saw was like, dude, you got your badge. Like, go to the convention center. You can just walk right up and talk to Jody Stevens. And so I remember going there the next day and walking into the convention and seeing Jody talking to someone and then looking behind that person. There was like six people in line. All these dork-ass musicians that you see a hole in the wall and stuff. Yeah. It was pretty funny. So so you did that record out there. And you brought it back here and mixed it at your studio, I assume, right?
No, we mixed it there, and then Seth mastered it at our studio.
Okay, at Sweetheart Studios.
Yeah.
Okay, it says mixed and mastered at Sweetheart Studios.
Oh, the first record, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the first record, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, the first record, yeah, we mixed it at Sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, I went back, sorry. I do that. and so, have you guys traveled? Have you guys gone out of town and played? Do you guys go to
just
surrounding
a little bit.
Cities?
Yeah, we've traveled some within Texas, but not outside of Texas yet.
It seems like with the style of music that you play that you could do like some private events too, because it's fun music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, have you guys been asked to do anything like that?
Well, we played at an art gallery in Beaumont, and that was a private event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was...
Those are always
it was a Halloween event.
So. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, not to...
Private events are totally weird, but they give you a lot of money to
show
up.
Well, we played in an art gallery, and most of the people were kind of like covering their ears because it was incredibly
not
too loud.
Up. Yeah. It's all hard surfaces and
You're
stuff.
You're more playing at people than you are playing for people in situations like that.
Yeah. I'm in a cover band, and we play events like that, but it's like one of those things where, like, yes, you are getting paid really well, but it's not the dream that you
signed up for. We've played in so many different cover bands.
Yeah.
That's how we funded
the big one is
record,
ABBA.
Really.
I think we might even
We
might even thank ABBA on our second record because it helped pay for it. Yeah.
What is your ABBA band?
It doesn't have a
name.
We didn't
have a name.
It's just kind of
what
the
reputations
do ABBA. Oh man.
We played a lot of the hits.
Yeah, we do Take a Chance on Me.
Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Waterloo.
Does Your Mother Know?
SOS. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Dancing Queen.
Yeah. Mamma Mia
is like the root of my paycheck in Skyrocket. Yeah. That's the song. That really is the best song of theirs. Do you guys think that? I mean, to me...
Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of an ABBA fan, so...
Yeah. Take a Chance on Me is awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
We've toured with it. We do Waterloo, and we do... I can't even fucking remember it. I'll think of it.
What's don't the Pierce about. Brosnan song in the movie? That's my favorite.
I've never seen the movie.
SOS. SOS. Right? Yeah. That is my. We do that one too, and that's probably my favorite.
I'm a huge fan of like. What's the divorce one?
I could.
Winner Takes It All.
Winner Takes It All. Love that's it. A like great the, song.
Like Fernando mm-hmm. and shit like that. Like songs that should be like Spanish songs because they're so dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was that? Why do you guys? What? I mean, obviously, ABBA's great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hotel Vegas. They do a lot of cover stuff because people just love it so much. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. And so
they do.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question because that is the truth. And I've seen now for years people do things, rumors. They'll do a whole rumors show. They'll mm-hmm. do right. a whole stack yeah. thing. I was involved in a thing that was XTC.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. was like everybody. And then when you bring all those people out for the covers, is it hard then to turn your scene on them? Because in this cover band that I play in, we played at the Monkey Duck in Houston. And mm-hmm. then someone was like, oh, we should do each one of us, since we're all songwriters, each one of us do one of our songs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And boy, that was not good. It did not go over like Dancing Queen by any means. Well, it, in fact, had the opposite effect of the audience.
ABBA is one of the bands that we get compared to, especially kind of our dancier.
Two singers.
Yeah, two female singers, and kind of we have a couple songs that are really dancey and almost kind of with a disco beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we did play. It was the last like kind of Sunday of South By, and we played an ABBA cover set, and people were going crazy and asking for more. And we didn't have any more ABBA songs, so we just played two of our really dancey songs that kind of sounded reminiscent of ABBA, and it went over really well.
Yeah,
but
they
really
liked it.
They were actually asking for our stuff. I mean, they were just, because I think they said, play more songs, and we said, we don't know anymore. And they said, we'll play your song.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it actually went really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time that, I mean, we've done, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 different cover bands.
Yeah.
Even
over
the past, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because, I mean, Hotel Vegas does their New Year's thing.
Right.
Where they pick, and it's huge.
I know. I always have to play out of town on New Year's. Mm-hmm. And that last year, like, I was just looking at the lineup, and I was like, fuck, that is, like, the night of my life.
Yeah. We did 1989. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers mm-hmm. this past year.
Oh, awesome.
We've done, how many years have we done that New Year's show? Like, I mean, Jimmy's been doing it for probably 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, since it was at Spider House, mm-hmm. which, probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah. I've only been doing it for like 3 years, I
What's
think.
The next one? It's
the 70s? Next one is 1977, I think.
78.
Oh, no, 78.
78, and we're doing...
He's equally painful. Sorry.
Big Star.
We're doing Big Star.
Oh, you're doing Big Star.
Yeah.
What did they put out in 1978? Nothing?
Nothing. They Big Star's third came out in 78.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. though it was recorded, I want to say, in like 1973 or 1974.
Right. I didn't realize that it came out.
But Jason's pretty loose with, you mm-hmm. know, as long as a band was
kind of around.
Somewhat around mm-hmm. in that year, you can kind of play their catalog and do whatever.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. What was the last one was like 89. Right. Yeah. The Cure, New Order. Wasn't mm-hmm. there a New Order band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That pains me that I wasn't in that.
And then the
I
year
love
before
New Order.
That was 70s also, right?
It was because we did Talking Heads the year before that. And
must have been 77.
Yeah.
It might have been 77.
Yeah.
Such a good year. 78 was a good year too, man.
Mm-hmm.
You can do Andy Gibb.
Mm-hmm.
Do
Wings.
Supertramp. You mm-hmm. can do Wings. Out the wazoo, baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I love Wings.
Me too.
Boom, you owe me a coat. I'm doing this thing where I'm singing You Light Up My Life. Oh. Forget it. Not allowed to say what I'm singing. But now I'm not allowed to say what I'm doing so that people don't know what I'm singing.
That was
the
a
thing
sneak
that I'm
preview.
Doing.
Right.
That was it.
You heard it.
So you guys
heard
are playing September 29th at the Empire Control Room
mm-hmm.
for Babes Fest.
July.
What did I say?
September.
Yeah.
September. That's why.
We might be playing September, too. We don't know yet.
July 29th. Sorry, that's a Saturday. I would go, but I have a gig that night. I want to see you guys play live.
Well, actually, we're playing August 2nd also mm-hmm. at Hotel Vegas.
Oh, I can go there.
That
and
is for the Lola Tried Tour kickoff.
Yes, Lola Tried's tour kickoff. We're playing this Saturday with Ghost Wolves at ABGB.
This will be out next week.
Okay.
So it's not...
Scratch that.
If you can go back in time when you hear this.
If you can go back in time. But Saturday, July 29th. Who else is on that? Is on that Babes Fest?
There's a lot of bands.
Magna Carta.
They're great.
Sailor Poon.
They're great.
And like 12 other bands, I think. Yeah.
I love Magna Carta.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's all different kinds. Sailor Poon, Magna Carta, and you guys are three completely different bands.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sound any different.
Yeah.
Very eclectic lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys like that, or do you?
Oh yeah.
I love it. And I mean, Boss Babes is kind of a feminist organization in Austin. So a lot of the bands are female fronted or have all female members. Mm-hmm. So it's a really pretty well curated event. A lot of different styles.
A lot of cool women playing. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Have you noticed that women are getting everything lately? Wonder Woman.
Ghostbusters.
Doctor Who.
Bridesmaids. Doctor Who's a woman now?
Yes. Yeah. Just announced like 2 days ago.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. Very tight.
A woman doctor. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm joking.
My baby cousin just became a doctor a few weeks ago. Aww. An official doctor. She's going to be an OBGYN.
A baby doctor.
Awesome.
Yeah,
a baby doctor.
That's cool, too. Yeah. The babies are getting everything. Yeah.
Good for you, babies.
They are. So your record is available. Is it on vinyl?
Yes.
It is on vinyl.
It should be.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people find that? Waterloo? Your website is Bandcamp?
Our website is Bandcamp. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's at Waterloo, it's at Antone's.
End of an ear, probably.
End of an ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can also order it on Bandcamp online and on the Resurrection Records website.
Yeah, yes, you can get it online. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you guys get invited to be a part of sort of the old Austin thing, like doing things at Antone's?
Nope. No. We did like the Continental Club scene and Antone's and stuff. No, we have not broken into that. We're still kind of, our scene, just because of the bands that we've played in leading up to the reputations, is very much the Hotel Vegas, Cheer Up Charlie's, the East Austin scene.
Mm-hmm. A younger crowd than the older people that go to those places. How old are you guys? You guys are in your 20s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
20s to early 30s.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hope so.
Yeah. It's real good. So you're going to shop this new album that you made with Jody Stevens. Does this album have a title?
Tentatively it does, yes. Mm-hmm.
The Reputation's second album.
Yes, it's called Number Two Record. Just kidding. But I have been making that joke for a long time.
Number Two Record.
Tentatively... It's, are we allowed to say what it's tentatively called?
Sure.
I mean, it's really only up to us if we're allowed to say it or not. So,
if you're saying tentatively, then you're totally allowed to take it back.
Right. Electric Power is tentatively
the name. Sounds good.
Which is one of the songs on the record. So
That's almost like a T-Rex kind of sounding name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys T-Rex fans?
You said
that your record went a little more glam.
It did.
We actually played in a T-Rex cover band.
Yeah, that's one of the many cover bands
we've done. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What all did you do? Like, how long was the set?
It was pretty short.
Probably
it was
25 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, Telegram Sam?
No Telegram Sam.
No.
We did The Slider.
Okay.
We did
Jeepster.
Buick McCain.
Yeah. I
Love to Boogie.
Yeah.
Born to Boogie.
Bang-a-gong.
Yeah.
Hot Love.
Uh-huh. 20th Century Boy.
Yeah.
I used to play Buick McCain in my old band, Gowdy.
That is such a fun song.
It's making the hair on my arm stand up because the riff is so bad.
It is. It's like really heavy.
And he uses that riff like half the time in his riff songs.
Yeah.
Like even like Children of the Revolution is that same riff just like slowed down in a different key.
Mm-hmm. He did that a lot.
He had like three songs,
but they were fucking great songs.
I'm fine with it.
Me too. Yeah, he had like that, like, we loved Boogie.
Yeah.
That's almost the same as like, well, you're dead. They're all that. Is that the end of the podcast?
No, that's.
Sometimes I don't turn mine off.
That's
so
Jody Stevens.
Jody Stevens.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. Hey, Jody. I'm doing good. I'm doing a podcast interview right now.
You can almost hear him.
What's that?
Okay.
That's like the
coolest. Okay, I will definitely do that. Do you want me to text it to you? Oh, okay, 1 second.
This is actually the coolest call we've had yet on the podcast.
I've been on technology security. Hi, Jody.
Hey, Jody.
It's Rocky and Jimmy here with me.
Hey, y'all. How are you?
Doing good.
Doing good.
I'm trying to bring up my contacts. All right.
Your podcast.
No, you're not. You're enhancing it in a way that you wouldn't even understand.
All right. Seth's number is 512. This is going to be on a podcast, too. This is really great.
very cool. Yeah, I've got give Seth a call, but it's exciting stuff.
Yes, okay. Very exciting.
I'm going to wait to hear from back from Kim Bowie and from Dave Shaw. And just cause.
You mean before you keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Just I don't know. I'm just excited about hearing back from them. I guess is what it is.
Sure. Do you have do you think it's gonna take a while?
It'll probably take a while, but I'm
positing it.
Bye, Jody.
Bye.
Bye.
So this is gonna work against you guys. Is like when this comes out next week, it's gonna be like episode 600 and whatever with Jody Stevens and special guests. Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get calls from Jody Stevens on the phone and he's excited.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is an exciting time for you guys.
Yes, we are. We kind of, I don't even really know how to handle it, to be honest with you.
Well, it's you know what I can say? Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it goes by real fast and you were so busy doing, like, running around in a circle, then you're like, oh, fuck, I should have just, like, sat back and chilled out a little bit.
Yeah.
And hung out in that scene. But you guys seem all seem mellow.
Yeah.
Except for Jimmy, he's freaking out.
Yeah.
I freak out a lot.
Jimmy does freak out. We've got a timeout corner of the studio.
Where do you guys rehearse? Do you have a...
at your Sweetheart.
Studio? Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah, it's nice.
At Sweetheart. It's awesome.
Yeah. I bet it is. You guys rehearse with headphones on? Do you record your mic stuff up? And
yeah. Yeah, we did... Cool. Actually, this entire second record, we got to make really good demos of all the songs and send them to Jody.
Cool.
So that he could kind of brainstorm on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was super beneficial. Because when we showed up, because we only had 7 days at Ardent, so when we showed up at Ardent, Jody already had several ideas on kind of things that he wanted to change a little bit on some of the songs.
Like in a pre-production way.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
We also had we demoed probably 13 songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we picked 10 of them for the record.
Jody wanted 10 songs. So we kind of had to pare it down, and the demos were really helpful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. As a drummer, like drummer to drummer?
It was pretty intimidating.
Did you have any kind of like, oh, really? Oh, cool. Like, did he impart any wisdom on you that you were like, wow?
Well, he had some good ideas for some of the drum beats. There's one song in particular that, and it's funny, I was always a little bit unhappy with the drum beat, and he made a real minor change to it, and it just suddenly it was perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He kind of made the song, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, there were a couple little things like that. And yeah, it was definitely intimidating. That was the first song that we recorded, and he kept coming out of the control room and giving me little tips and kind of nitpicking the drum part. It's like, oh shit, it's going to be like this all week. Like, but it ended up not being like that. Just that first song, I guess he had a very specific idea for the drum beat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it worked out great.
That's great, man. That must be, and if he's a hero of yours, getting to work with someone like that is just fucking awesome. Oh, I've gotten to do that sometimes with people, and you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
He was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even better. We expected it was going to be like a really wonderful experience, but I mean, Jody really was like incredible, especially for really not having produced before. I mean, he was a wonderful producer. He would tell the story... where he like took you on a walk or whatever.
Yeah, he was really good for morale, which is
like
important.
Those kind of producers.
Because
yeah.
I mean, in the studio, you're in a room without windows all day, and it was a day when we were recording strings and piano and organ, so there really wasn't a whole lot for me to do for the first bulk of the day until like 4 p.m. And we usually would get there in the morning. And I was just kind of sitting on the couch all day and like getting really comfortable and kind of like a little sleepy. And Jody turns around in his little wheelie chair and he's like, "Are you ready to do a vocal track?" And I'm like, probably have my eyes half open. And he just starts like laughing in my face and he grabs my hand and pulls me up. He's like, "Come with me," and like just took me on a walk around Arden and kind of showed me a couple things. He took me outside to the courtyard and was just talking about like the landscaping and the different plants they had, just trying to, I guess, wake me up a little bit and like get the blood flowing and then get me back in there so I could do a vocal track. So that kind of stuff was really great.
How did that vocal track go?
It was good. I don't even remember what song it was, but it was
good. It's the one with the strings and stuff on it?
I don't know.
But they were just doing strings on a different song.
It might have been Laredo.
Maybe. You see?
Because that was the day when Bandidos were there. Yeah. But I don't know.
Did he dig into the songs at all and like, "Hey, maybe we should make this verse shorter," or "Can you do this thing here," or "Take out that pre-chorus," or "Add a pre-chorus," or was there any kind of that?
He did a little bit of that kind of stuff. I don't know that Jody altered much of the composition, and as far as like shortening verses and bridges and stuff, he did like that drum track where he came in and made an edit to Jimmy's drums. He made an edit to a bass part of mine for a song on the record called Out of Style, where I'm singing, and a lot of times if I'm singing on a song, I kind of write the bass part to be a little bit easier and samey, kind of. And so he came in and he said, "You got to change the bass part on the chorus to change the dynamics." I think that was probably Jody's biggest thing that we always kind of heard him say, is that he would talk about dynamic changes. He would want to make sure that there was, at the very least, a volume shift from chorus to verse. So when he was talking to Adam, who was our engineer and helped co-produce, you know, he was asking Adam to drop volume and stuff. So not necessarily instrumentation changes, but just like really heavily involved in the mix. And the sonics and how it sounded and stuff.
Yeah,
for the most part, I think he just kind of had us do our thing. He was really good at getting good takes out of us, just knowing when a take worked, and like more like the feeling of the take than the composition of it.
And even rolling when we didn't know he was rolling. So we thought, like, they thought they were practicing like a pass at a song.
Yeah, we thought we were ready to try the first take, and turned out he had recorded it, and we kept that for the record. That was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
are you guys married? Married to different people.
Jimmy, Jimmy and I are engaged.
Oh, you're engaged.
Yeah.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
What's the big day? Do you know yet?
We don't know yet.
No idea.
You guys should get the Reputations to play at your wedding. but then you have to work the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get all sweaty.
Well, that's cool. Does work it does being married in the band ever cause any
I don't know. I think we work together really well. Yeah, actually,
we've been together for almost 8 years.
Wow.
So I think we've learned how to keep it chill.
And you guys have been in a lot of bands together?
We've played together probably for the last like 5 years or something. I mean, on and off. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think we figured out a good way to travel together and, you know, try not to fight in front of the other.
That's the thing that's always crazy when you think about that.
Yeah.
I've never been in a band with a couple.
I think, do we do okay?
Don't let them fool you. they're great. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys know the Mastersons?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they're a couple, and they do their own thing, and they also play in Steve Earle's band together.
Oh, cool.
And they're like together 24/7, like their side shit's together, their fucking band's together, their Steve Earle's together, their vacations are together, then they go home together.
Yeah.
So in some worlds, to some people, that is an ideal situation. I've seen, you know, I remember I went out with a girl once whose parents owned a company together, and they would get off work and they'd go grocery shopping and they'd make dinner together and they'd go do something. It was just like, wow, that's amazing to like someone that much. I don't know, I'm a divorced person, so
My wife Alex came with us to record.
Alex
didn't record, but she came with us while we recorded and kind of hung out in the studio with us and stayed in the Airbnb.
She was there all day every day with us.
Oh, she was?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she's awesome.
Yeah.
What does she do?
She got bored.
She is. She does like sales in a software company. I'm sorry, Alex. I don't actually know exactly what you do. she's a like a market representative for a software company. She's basically a band mom to me. She kind of support me as a musician
and do the band.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And helps you. Yeah. It comes along.
Yes. She's mm-hmm. very wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. You're lucky to have that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you got the. Is anyone else? I saw Seth was married to Sabrina.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
they were married.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fantastic, man. I've had her on the show a few times.
One she's time great,
she
yeah.
came over when I was making soup and she told me she hated the smell of soup in my house. I'm pretty sure that since then she has called me soupy almost every time soupy. She's seen me. Soupy. Yeah. What an amazing you guys ever do shows with them at all? Or is that
No,
we've played with a giant dog.
Didn't
we? Mm-hmm. When we released our record.
Oh yeah, that was a like a big March. Hotel Vegas party. That a giant dog played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have not played with Sweet Spirit.
I've never seen a giant dog, but I've seen Sweet Spirit a few times.
Mm-hmm. They're but both
it's
great.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean it's the same, almost the same people.
Yeah,
it's Andrew and Sabrina.
Yeah. Andrew, Danny, and Sabrina are in both bands, and then Sweet Spirit has Jake Knight and Kara and some mm-hmm. other people.
Okay.
Yeah, Giant Dog was like the first live band that I saw when I moved to Austin when I was 18.
Where'd you move from?
From Katy, Texas, outside of
nice.
Houston.
Mm-hmm. How do you like that Katy? Got that outdoor world and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in this, it was suburban, like right. extremely.
Did you ever go out to Houston, like go to Fitzgerald's or anything for shows?
Yeah, well, I didn't really go to like a whole lot of shows in Houston, but I spent a lot of time in Houston growing up because I went to high school there and I went to Houston Ballet Academy like 5 times a week there. So oh, really? I spent a lot of time in the city.
What brought you to Austin?
I went to UT.
Okay. Did you graduate from there?
Yes.
What did you graduate with a degree in?
Anthropology and French.
That's good.
And now I'm a musician.
Is there any application? Did you have an idea that there was going to be an application for that in your life? Like the French-speaking anthropologist?
I definitely use anthropology every day. I always knew that I wanted to be a singer, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I just studied something that I was interested in.
That's good. That's good. What about you? Where are you from? You said you're from Memphis?
I am from Memphis, yeah.
Justin
really
is from
all
Memphis.
Over Tennessee, but I claim Memphis because that's where I went to high school.
Okay.
Yeah. I moved down here when I was 19. My dad lives out here, and I was just trying to get out of Memphis. And yeah, I'm a student.
Oh, you are a student now?
I am now, yeah.
Okay, where? UT?
Texas State.
Texas State?
Mm-hmm.
What is your field of study?
Public relations.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You guys, well, look out, Joe Ray.
Yeah, well, these days, really, I'm like a major in Facebook, essentially. Like
that. Is that what they teach
yeah,
you now in public relations?
Yeah, if anybody from the communications department at Texas State hears this, they probably wouldn't be happy. But yeah, I mean, it's mostly just how to create a website, which is good, and then like how to run Twitter and Facebook and stuff, so it's really not even...
I mean, that's really one of the most helpful things for
yeah.
a band because any club, any label, any publisher, anybody, anything, first thing they look at your shit is how many people are, before they even listen.
Yeah.
Probably not Jody Stevens. He probably listened to your record.
Yes.
But in the general world, people are looking at your numbers and,
yep.
and
yeah.
seeing
yeah.
what.
Definitely.
Yeah. Didn't you guys do the music for some TV show or something? Is that right?
Bobby Jealousy.
That was Bobby Jealousy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, they had a song. It was the theme song to Big Time in Hollywood, Florida,
mm-hmm.
which
and
was on Comedy Central for one season.
It was a song from their first record, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow?
Rainbow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to Hollywood, Florida many times.
What's it like?
It's not like Hollywood, California.
Okay.
It's just like a suburb of Miami to me.
Is
I mean, it's
better than
town.
Hollywood, California?
No.
Okay.
No, it's warmer.
Okay.
I mean, it's warm. It's humiditor. It's humiditor.
Humiditor.
Well, it's a humidor.
Yeah. Jimmy, where are you from? That's your brother?
Yeah.
So
we're from Huntsville, Texas.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
it. From
great
there,
prison there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big one.
There's a lot of prisons there.
There's a lot?
There's a lot.
There's 8 prison units there, I think. Well, there were 8 last time I lived there.
They're
so
everywhere.
Maybe there's 9 or 10.
Is any of your family like in the racket, prison, like wardens
no.
or?
What's that?
In the prison business?
No, they don't work for the prison.
What was it like growing up in Huntsville? I mean, like, how did you get music? Were you listening to Houston stations or something?
Yeah, we listened to the
like alternative rock stations out of Houston.
Is that 94 The Buzz?
I've got something? Three older brothers, so I got pretty much all my music through them. But yeah, there's a cool record shop in town for some reason that had a lot of good music.
Really?
But it was really strange growing up there. At that time, it was a really small town, a really East Texas kind of town. It's growing a lot more now, like the university is getting bigger.
Sam Houston State, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty strange.
Yeah, it is. What brought you to Austin? Why?
The music.
Music?
Yeah.
Did you guys have a band growing up?
Yeah, and your brothers? We would always be in like one of the three rock and roll bands in town.
One of the three Huntsville bands?
Yeah.
Jimmy was kind of a punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of a punk.
You were?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the Dead Kennedys and Black Flag and all that, and some more embarrassing stuff.
I was going to say, don't leave out the best one.
What's the best one? Rancid?
Rancid.
Oh, yeah, Rancid.
Didn't you have the mohawk with, like, the Knox gelatin to, like, hold it up? Yeah. Like Elmer's glue?
I have to say, you have, like, a very 1978 look now. One would think.
Yeah.
And you look like a guy in the band that you would be like, oh, I'm going to ask one of these guys if they have weed. You know what I mean? Not that you sell it, but that you look like that maybe a guy in the band that would...
I'll take that as that a compliment. Would,
yeah,
that's cool.
I want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that you look, oh, that guy has meth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one wants to be that guy. Right?
No.
Nobody wants to be the guy that has meth.
That looks like they might know where to get meth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, which one of those guys do you think has meth?
Yeah.
Just go to a gas station and...
Have you guys toured a lot individually? Like, did Bobby Jealousy tour a lot? Or...
Well, they... Not our rendition
of
Bobby Jealousy.
Yeah, they toured before we were in it.
Yeah, that one did.
I've toured some with my other band, The Bad Lovers.
Oh, yeah, I know that band.
Yeah.
Wait, who's the guy in that band, the singer?
That's Jimmy.
That's you?
Yes, that's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else is in that band?
Caleb Dawson is the drummer. Austin Shockley is the bassist. Nick Fong is the second guitarist, and Felipe plays tambourine.
Wow. I feel like I... What kind of music is that?
I don't know, just rock and roll. Kind of garage rock. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. When there's a guy that plays tambourine, I immediately think Brian Jonestown Massacre. Can they have a guy?
It doesn't really sound like that.
Yeah, it's not like that. No.
That is different. Well, maybe not as different, but pretty different.
Pretty different.
Didn't y'all steal their tambourine though one time?
Yeah,
that was the
wolf. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they were being real jerks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking famous for that.
We opened for them, and after we played, while they were playing on stage, we were having fun, and they had left a bunch of percussion stuff beside the stage, so we started playing along with them. And one of the guys kept looking over and like giving us mean looks and like telling us no. And so finally we stopped, but we were like, fuck you, we're keeping your tambourine. Yeah, so that's that story.
Do you guys ever see that movie Dig?
Yeah.
About that?
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts.
It's a pretty interesting movie because to me that movie is about what you can get if you play the game. Because to me, the level of genius in Anton was definitely a lot higher than that Courtney Taylor guy. But that guy was just such a rock star, and he wanted to play the game so badly to be in the game. The other guy, he was just crazy. That Brian Chonjown Massacre guy, he was just kind of nuts and angry, obviously.
Yeah.
Nuts and angry.
He didn't even play with him that night, too. I think he was there, but...
Wait, Anton didn't play with him? So the dude from the... Like, that's like... That's like the guy from Bright Eyes not playing with Bright Eyes one night.
That'd be okay.
What happened to that guy? Where did they go? Where did that whole movement go? Where did the new folk America go?
That's still around.
Is it? I felt like it had to go back underground.
I feel like that's still pretty huge. Conor Oberst, I don't know what that dude's doing.
He's running that label, right? Still?
I think he has a label. Maybe.
Is it Saddle Creek? Is that what that is?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about those people anymore. They're not. Have you guys ever been to Omaha?
No.
No. Have not.
It's a great town.
Yeah.
Well, it is. There's a Bronco Bowl. This girl reminded me of it yesterday. It's a gig that's connected to a bowling alley, which makes for great after-show hygiene with bowling. So
that sounds great.
Yeah.
I would love to play a bowling. We played a skating rink once. Oh, no, wait, there was a bowling alley there.
We played right in front of
the lanes.
You did?
Yeah. That was actually the weirdest. That place is really cool. What's it called? Millennium
Youth Entertainment Complex.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
I just had a thing there a few months ago. Yeah, why isn't that place open? Like, is it open every week? They have, like, theaters. They have, like...
Yeah,
it's really cool. We played their Christmas party.
I think they're not really super popular because they don't sell booze. If they sold booze, then that place would be insane.
It would be.
Yep.
But then it wouldn't really be like a youth center.
Right. No, that doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The thing I was at was the Austin Video Festival.
Oh,
they had
like
a whole thing there for the Austin Video Festival.
Yeah.
And I moderated a panel, but they did have free booze in little stands. But it was people brought it in.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of Tito's excitement.
I know that they do, like, I don't know, I'm going to get the day wrong, but it's something like the third Sunday of every month or something. They do, like, a BYOB night for adults only. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like one day a month, yeah.
That's great. If you can't make it to the Millennium Youth Complex on Saturday, July 29th, if you're in Austin, you can see the Reputations at Empire Control Room. You know what time you play? There's 12 bands. Do you have any idea?
Is it 9:30?
It's 9:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Early on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Show up at 6, though.
Show up at 6. Be there early. Is that what time the whole thing starts?
No, I just made that up.
And, of course, August 2nd, you will be at Hotel Vegas. I think I can be at that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. That'd be great.
Yeah. In case you were worried that I couldn't make it.
Closing that show, I think.
Yeah, closing, maybe playing. I'm not sure what the set time is. Our friends Lola Tried, that's their tour kickoff, though. So.
Okay. I'll put a link to your Bandcamp page in the body of text in this podcast, but people can find you guys on Bandcamp, on Facebook. You're on Twitter, right?
We are on Twitter.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Instagram. The Reputations, their album Begging for More is available now. Their second album, follow-up album, it produced by Jody Stevens from Big Star, who was also a guest on this show, officially. Watch, by the time this comes out, it's going to say Big Star with special guest. that'll be coming out some point in the future.
In the future.
You're looking for a home for it first.
Mm-hmm.
Because putting out your own album is a lot of work, even though you have a publicist in the band.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Distribution is kind of key. I mean, self-releasing is fun, but you really want somebody that can get it into record stores and talk about it and...
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Do you guys get some play on KUTX?
We have before.
Yeah. We've performed live on KUTX, which
was
really
fun. Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good.
That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that you did that. I didn't watch it. Is it a video?
Yeah.
There's a video.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's like three songs. Two of them are just like audio radio tracks, and then there's a video for Sugar High, which is on that record, and Tightrope, which is a song on the next record we did live in studio for KUTX.
So if you want a preview of the second record, check out that video.
Yeah.
And check out Tightrope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming by. Is there anything I'm missing?
I don't know.
I like that you're looking around.
Is there stuff to talk about?
Yeah.
You have a lot of neat stuff on your walls.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever cataloged it for your listeners, all the cool stuff you have?
Sometimes people do say stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting. Anyway, thank you guys for coming to the show. Everyone get out to see the Reputations on Saturday, July 29th, not September 29th. perfect timing. See Roxy Music.
Wait, is that your phone?
Oh. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From the Reputations, that's Jimmy Gibbs, Rocky Ann Bullwinkle, and Justin Smith. Their album, Begging for More, is available now. Go to their Bandcamp page. Their latest album, which they have recorded with producer Jody Stevens from the band Big Star, who you heard on the speakerphone there, will be coming out hopefully later this year. And don't forget, you can see them this Saturday, July 29th, at Empire Control Room at the Babes Fest. All right? Also on August 2nd at Hotel Vegas. Hopefully you'll see me there. All right? Great talking to those guys. What a great band. What a cool band. What a great band. That album is fantastic. Pick it up. Begging for More. Go to their Bandcamp. Become a fan. And don't forget, while you're out there checking out the Reputations online, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on the iPhone podcast app, on the Android podcast app, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on anywhere basically where you find podcasts. Subscribe to this podcast. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Let's hear some more music from the Reputations. Their album, Begging for More, available now. Go to their Bandcamp. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.